In July of 1965, the Beatles were quite possibly the greatest band on earth. And if not, because that obviously depended on your taste and your preference, they were the most famous and most popular. Allegedly more popular than even Jesus, as John Lennon would regrettably remark the following year. And yet, at the very height of Beatlemania, when the Beatles could have chosen pretty much any venue they wanted, the Fab Four pulled a lightning trip to Spain in early July to do one night in Madrid and one night in Barcelona to wrap up an intense 15-concert, 8-city tour of Europe in just 14 days, from June 20th to July 3rd. You actually may have seen something related to this visit. There's an iconic picture of them donning bullfighters' hats as they get off a plane in Barcelona, and it's been reprinted over and over. And if you ask me, it's probably one of the highlights, because just about everything having to do with these shows in Spain, the time, the place, the negotiating, the build-up, the controversy, and the concerts themselves was bizarre, to say the least. Now, bringing the group to Spain was the brainchild of a Spanish promoter named Francisco Bermúdez, informally known as Paco Bermúdez, who bravely faced the tough business world of Brian Epstein and the tough political world of Francisco Franco to pull off one of the most extraordinary entertainment events that year. And I say extraordinary because initially there was a lot of hesitation about the success of the venture, let alone whether or not it would even happen at all. For one thing, the Beatles were popular in Spain at the time, but not as much as in other parts of Europe, at least if you base that popularity on record sales. You see, whereas a new release would generate hundreds of thousands of units sold in days in other parts of the world, in Spain, the numbers were shockingly lower, sometimes going no higher than maybe 3,000 or 4,000. For example, in Barcelona at the time, they said only about 600 copies of their four released albums, not just the most recently released album, of all four released albums, were selling a week, which is nothing compared to many other places. So the Beatles business team was basically asking itself, or asking themselves, what was the point? But Paco Bermúdez was there to assure them that they were popular. The problem was apparently that there just weren't that many record players in the country. So that's why sales seemed lower than the popularity really was. And that seemed to convince them. So that was obstacle number one. Then the organizers had to also contend with the Spanish government, which had few nice things to say about the group, no matter how personable John, Paul, George, and Ringo were, and they were generally well-liked wherever they went. The government was hesitant to allow this to happen, and as late as a month before the show was supposed to take place, the permit hadn't even been approved, so there was no guarantee it would ever happen. Then something totally unexpected occurred. Queen Elizabeth announced on June 11th, 1965, that she would be awarding, later that year, the distinction of Members of the Order of the British Empire, or MBE, to all four Beatles. And because Franco was an admirer of Queen Elizabeth, he felt her backing was as good a credential as any, and apparently saw to it himself that the show was given the green light. But it wasn't over yet. The promoters still needed to get the permit to do the concert in the two chosen venues. There were both bull rings. The one in Madrid is called Ventas, or Ventas, and the one in Barcelona is called La Monumental. That approval would not come until a week before the concert was scheduled to take place. That's right, just 1 week before. But once they were allowed to do it, the organizers quickly got the posters out on the streets and tickets went on sale. Now, anticipation of the world-famous quartet was mixed. You had the fans who were obviously really excited They were going crazy. But the media was said to have played a big role in trying to shape the mood of their arrival, sort of trying to play down all this hype. The sense was that the Beatles were not to be taken very seriously. They were considered by many to be sort of long-haired clowns, not serious musicians. They were described as being weird, wild, dirty, laughable, and even effeminate. The more hardcore right wing of the media viewed them as dangerous to traditional Spanish values. And that was probably true. They were probably the most accurate of them all. And it was funny because while the Beatles did have their long hair, and by today's standards it's nothing, but at the time did surprise a few, their good-natured sense of humor and their generally excellent innate ability to act properly in the right situation made them very popular. I wouldn't quite say they were considered bad boys like the Rolling Stones or the Who, but they naturally raised suspicions with societies which limited access to the outside world, as was the case of Franco's ultra-conservative, fascist, ultra-Catholic regime. And yet at the same time, there was sort of this fascination about having this group come to Spain. So it was almost as if the Spanish press and Spain itself didn't know what to think of them. In any event, a few days later, the Beatles were pulling into their hotel, the Hotel Fénix, which is in the Plaza de Colón, and that translates as Columbus Square. The hotel is still there, and Beatles fans to this day still request their rooms. In case you're interested, I think they are rooms 123, 223, 323, and 423. So if you ever go to that hotel, see if you can get one of them. Once in the hotel, the Beatles were pretty much confined to that environment. They didn't go anywhere until the show started, but that didn't mean the Spanish were going to sit back and do nothing about it. The famous sherry winery, Domecq, decided that this was the perfect place to do a little publicity stunt. And they had five large sherry casks hauled in, each to be signed by one of the four members of the group, and I think there was another one that was dedicated to the entire group itself. Traditionally, these sherry wineries will then say that that cask is reserved only for the person with the name on it. John actually tried pouring a glass of sherry the traditional way, is a system that they use. He didn't do a bad job. And there was flamenco music playing and flamenco dancers flanking the musicians and dancing. This, my friends, was classic 1960s Spanish hospitality at its finest. I mean, this is the way they did things, where the only image projected was that of this flamenco music and bullfighting world, which was especially associated with the south of Spain. And it's been joked about for decades, and even before that, in Spanish cinema. I'll have to tell you about that at a different time. But this is what they did. The Spanish newsreel, Nodo, which would do reports that would be aired, I guess, I'm not sure if that's the word, in the movie theaters before the feature film. They would always talk about different aspects of Spanish life and Spanish news. And there was a report on their visit. It was okay, I guess, typical Nodo with a touch of I don't know, a bit condescending and not taking the group too seriously. But then finally it was time for the show to start at 10:15. Made sense in July. You want a concert to start around that time. Any time earlier is too hot. But one thing that was surprising from the very beginning was that the concert didn't sell out. Apparently, only something like 5,000 tickets were sold, which was surprisingly low. The audience could not have been more varied. There were lots of young people, that's true, but there were also families, parents with their young children, nannies, maids, government workers, some of the social elite there, in some cases pets. And also lots of police officers. I've also seen it reported that several thousand people were actually left outside of the bullring by the police to keep the numbers more manageable. Back then, you could do that sort of thing without causing a riot. So why was the show not sold out? Quite possibly, the short notice had an impact. I said, remember, they only had about a week. But that should have been enough time for a group as popular as the Beatles. But another factor was the high prices. I mean, they were very high for that time. Spain was a much poorer country back then. And even though we can say that ticket prices for concerts are expensive today, most people can pay for them, even if it's a bit of a luxury. And back then, that would have been really difficult. In fact, I can verify. I have a friend of mine who was at the concert, and she told me that she went only because her friend was part of a family that was very wealthy, and thanks to them, they were able to get tickets, and she was invited, because otherwise, there would have been no way she could pay for a ticket to see a show like that. It would have been far too extravagant. And there's also the possibility that sort of media campaign did have sort of an impact. And it's funny because, as I said, another thing they were saying is that basically the Beatles were past their prime. They were on their way down. And that's hysterical because the next four albums that they were about to release after this concert were Help in August of that very same year, 1965, Rubber Soul in December of 1965, Revolver in August of the next year, and then finally Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in May of 1967. Anyway, the point being, the Beatles were not only not in decline, their very best material was still to come, as you can see. In any event, the show must go on, and it did. The Italian comedian and showman Torre Bruno emceed the concert. Out came the Fab Four, with Lennon sporting a typical Andalusian hat, and they proceeded to go through their nightly lineup, which was Twist and Shout, She's a Woman, I'm a Loser, Can't Buy Me Love, Babies in Black, I Want to Be Your Man, A Hard Day's Night, Everybody's Trying to Be My Baby, Rock and Roll Music, I Feel Fine, Ticket to Ride, and they finished it with Long Tall Sally, as they often did. It was the same for all the shows, and it lasted about 35 minutes, which was standard for concerts back then. The reaction by the crowd was all over the place. For the most part, it was pretty much subdued compared to the almost psychotic screaming of their other shows and other places, where essentially it would drown out the music. Footage from the event shows mostly seated attendees, with a few individuals or groups of young people sort of letting go, more in the Beatlemania fashion you'd expect them to, but for the most part, things were pretty calm. Why that is hard to say, but it was probably a combination of things. The Spanish crowd was trying to focus on listening to the music, so in a sense, they were just being respectful. That may be true, but there was also a sizable number of older people there who had gone probably out of curiosity more than anything, plus these were supposed to be apparently civil servants who had more money than the others. And then finally, the secret police peppered the crowd, and as well as not-so-secret police, to ensure nothing got out of hand. The presence of the police no doubt soured the mood a bit. Still, overall, people I know who were actually there and opinions I've read about say that aside from the poor quality of the sound, not the music, but the sound, it was fun. It was a fun, albeit very short show. But I'm not sure if that's nostalgia or a reality. I mean, after all, it was the only time the Beatles ever played in Spain. So that in itself would have been enough to make it special. How did the Beatles feel about it? They say they seemed to be a little bit puzzled by the reaction of the people, by the presence of the police, the unusual atmosphere of the concert. I think they felt it was sort of an unusual experience too. And once it was all over, they headed over the next day to Barcelona, where they pretty much did the same thing. They performed another set in front of a measurably larger audience in La Monumental, the Bullring there in Barcelona. I think it was somewhere around 15,000 to 17,000 people there. But the overall experience was similar. The Spanish media played down the success, claiming basically that the Beatles had come and gone and nothing really happened. And in a sense, that was an accurate description, but in another sense, it wasn't accurate at all. The seeds of the counterculture had been sown even before their arrival, and though it would take some time for it to bear its fruit, it would come in the end. And it was almost the beginning of a quiet revolution, often the most effective kind of revolution of all. And for the Beatles, it was the end of the line of another intensive mini-tour. It was a way of life that was beginning to take its toll on them. And after that, they returned back to the UK for a little R&R. And with the exception of one stint in Blackpool, the Spanish shows essentially marked their last live performances before the legendary concert at Shea Stadium in New York on August 15th. And that will be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.